Good morning, everyone. Those of you interested in art and who enjoy viewing paintings probably know about chiaroscuro, the art technique of using strong contrasts between light and dark in paintings. The name is made up of chiaro, which means light or brightness, and scuro, which has the meaning of shadow or darkness. Some famous paintings that use the technique of chiaroscuro are The Last Supper by Leonardo da Vinci, The Night Watch by Rembrandt, and Girl with a Pearl Earring by Vermeer. The technique changes the stress on color tones to make a painting appear more three-dimensional. 2 years ago, when I had the opportunity to view Rembrandt's The Night Watch at the Amsterdam National Museum, I was impressed by both the painting's size and how it appeared to be three-dimensional. I don't know that much about painting, but even I could see how dark and light areas were used in contrast in the night scene to make things seem to stand out more. Rembrandt is often called the artist of light and shadows, or the magician of light. It is clear that he acquired the technique of chiaroscuro at a young age and continued to study throughout his life how the contrasts between light and dark and different color hues were seen by the retina of the human eye. And this technique, found in paintings by artists, is also used by photographers in the taking of black and white photos. This week, we enter the fourth week of Lent. Our scripture passages for today are from 1 Samuel chapter 16, Psalm 23, Ephesians 5, and John chapter 9. In all of these, we can find a common theme related to chiaroscuro, or a theme contrasting light and darkness. In our verses today, we see depictions of this light and darkness, light and shadows, and the world of light and the world of darkness. In the books of Samuel and John, a prominent theme is what our eyes see and view. And we see a contrast between what God sees and what we humans see. In Ephesians chapter 5, there is a contrast made between darkness and light, verse 8, and between darkness and brightness. And in Psalm chapter 23, there is a contrast between the valley of the shadow of death, in verse 4, where light does not shine, and the green pastures, in verse 2, where light shines brightly. This morning, let's look together at what the Bible teaches us about light and darkness, about God's Son, who is the light of the world, and about how we are to live in this world as followers of Christ. And shall we bow for prayer before we turn to our scripture? Heavenly Father, we praise your holy name again this morning. Father, we thank you that we can have a time of worship and study of your word, even if we are not able to gather as one group at church. During this difficult time, we ask that we would be able to look to you even more as the one to put our trust in. Please give us your peace during this time of uncertainty. You know our hearts and the situations we are in better than anyone else, so we ask that you would give us your words and truths that we need to hear this morning. May the Holy Spirit be given complete freedom to work in our hearts and minds. Speak to us now through your word, and may we put into action in the coming new week what you teach us this morning. We thank you again for this time of learning from your scripture. We pray all this in the name of our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. We will be looking first at 1 Samuel 16, verses 1 to 3. verses 1 to 13. And in 1 Samuel chapter 16, we find depicted a light-dark contrast between what God sees and what is seen from a human's viewpoint. The prophet Samuel was disappointed and sad because of King Saul. Samuel had been sent by God to anoint Saul, and he had become king. But now God was sending Samuel again to anoint a son of Jesse in Bethlehem to be the one to eventually replace Saul on the throne. Verse 4 says that when Samuel came to the town of Bethlehem, the elders of the city came to meet him trembling. For in those days, when a prophet visited a town, it was usually to bring some important message or warning from God. We read, "I will send you to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I have provided for myself a king among his sons." We can imagine Samuel's worry and nervousness to carry out this task given to him by God, because there was the possibility that Saul would get angry and kill Samuel when the king found out what was being done behind his back. But Samuel did as God commanded him to, and he went to Bethlehem and invited Jesse to the ceremony, where Samuel was able to meet 7 of Jesse's 8 sons. Verses 3 to 5. Well, Samuel was not given the name of which of Jesse's sons he was supposed to anoint to be king. But in verse 7, God gives Samuel some important advice on how to determine which of Jesse's sons was most suited to be the leader of the nation. Reading 1 Samuel 16, verse 7. "Do not look on his appearance or on the height of his stature, because I have rejected him. For the Lord sees not as man sees. A man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart." So we see, when God looks upon man, he looks at one's heart and mind. On the other hand, when we look at someone, the first impression we come gets from the person's outward appearance. We look at how they look, their height, and so on. Well, Samuel meets the 7 sons that are at the ceremony, but the one he is supposed to anoint is not one of them. Verses 6 to 10. Jesse had not planned to bring the youngest son, David, to the ceremony from the beginning. When David is called to them from the flocks that he is tending, Samuel is told by God that this is the one he is to anoint as the next king. Verse 12. "And he sent and brought him in, and he was ruddy and had beautiful eyes and was handsome. And the Lord said, 'Arise, anoint him, for this is he.'" Well, David was the youngest. He had a good complexion, healthy. He was healthy, had beautiful eyes, and was handsome. And he probably did look fit to be king. But God examined David's heart when he chose him to be the next in line for the throne. The light and dark contrast found in 1 Samuel chapter 16 is the contrast between what God sees and what man sees from their different viewpoints. Humans naturally tend to look at the outside appearance and if something looks nice. But God looks at the hidden inner self that is in the dark area, unseen by human eyes. During this 4th week of Lent, may we remember the difference in what the Lord sees in us and in this world. May we feel God, who sees our inner heart and mind, at work in us through the power of the Holy Spirit that the Lord has given us. Next, looking at John 9, verses 1 to 41. The events in John chapter 9 give us another depiction of a contrast between light and dark. It is the contrast between being able to see and being blind. The person that appears in this passage had been unable to see from birth. Jesus and the disciples see this blind man as they are going by. The disciples asked Jesus whether the man was blind because of his own sin or because of the sins of his parents. Verse 2. Jesus replies that the reason is not because of the man or a punishment to the parents. Christ says that it was so that the works of God might be displayed in him, as we read in verse 3. Well, how were the works of God displayed in this man? Verse 38 tells us that the man said, "Lord, I believe," and he worshiped Christ. This was the moment God's mighty works were shown. The disciples and the Pharisees all could see without any problems from birth, but they all thought that this blind man's handicap was the result of either the man's sin or his parents' sin. And this is why they asked Christ, "Who sinned?" in verse 2. It appears that all those who saw this blind man begging by the side of the road looked down on him as a sinner. Verse 8. But what Jesus saw was a child of God who was in need of healing and salvation. And so, even though it was the Sabbath, Christ makes some mud and puts it on the man's eyes. And when the man goes and washes his eyes as Jesus told him, his eyesight is miraculously restored. Verse 14. As a result, Jesus is denounced and called a sinner for having broken the Sabbath in the eyes of the Pharisees in verse 16. Well, how is your eyesight? Can you see well? Even if you have good eyesight, can you see in the dark? When it gets dark in a room, we turn on a light. We shine a light when walking on a road at night. Our bicycles have a light to use at night as well so that we can see where we are going. Even those with good eyesight need some kind of light to safely walk in the darkness when the light of the sun is not shining. The Lord Jesus said, "I am the light of the world," in verse 5. The story found in John chapter 9 is a paradox regarding the contrast of those who couldn't see who are made able to see, and those who could see who are made blind. Verse 39. The man who was born blind is able to find the hope of light in Jesus. To him, Jesus was not a sinner that broke the Sabbath law, but rather his Savior, who brought healing and restoration. And by believing in Jesus, the light of the world, the man was also changed into one who could truly worship the Lord. On the other side of the paradox are the Pharisees, who had no trouble with their human eyesight, but who end up becoming spiritually blind in darkness. This event of healing the blind man was truly a moment that decided one's fate for both the blind man and for the Pharisees. Now reading John 9, verses 39 and 41. Jesus said, "For judgment I came into this world, that those who do not see may see, and those who see may become blind." Jesus said to them, "If you were blind, you would have no guilt. But now that you say, 'We see,' your guilt remains." For those of us who have believed in the Savior Jesus Christ, we now pray that Jesus, who is the light of the world, will help us to correctly see this world of darkness as it actually is. We pray, "Jesus, please open my eyes. May I be able to view this world in the same way that you do, with the hope of compassion and restoration." And now finally, looking at Ephesians chapter 5, verses 8 to 14. What does it mean for the Christian to walk in the light while still being in this world that is darkness itself? The Apostle Paul writes in his letter to the Ephesians using a contrast that involves a before and after look at the members of the church there before they believed and after they had become followers of Christ, his disciples, and children of God. Reading Ephesians 5, verses 8 to 11. For at one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of light is found in all that is good and right and true, and try to discern what is pleasing for the Lord, pleasing to the Lord. Take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. Those who were walking in the darkness were headed for the destruction that sin and death bring. But when they believe in Jesus, who is the light of the world, they are saved from that destruction and punishment and are made children of God, children of light. And as children of light, they are expected to bring forth good spiritual fruits in goodness, righteousness, and truth. Verse 9. So walking in the light for the Christian means showing God's goodness, righteousness, and truth to others wherever we are. Ephesians 5:10 also stresses, try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. Let us keep our hearts and minds on Christ, who went to the cross in our place and gave his life as the atonement for our sins, as he made forgiveness and rescue from the darkness of sin possible for mankind. And let us pray that we will be able to celebrate Easter together next month, a time of rejoicing in Christ gaining victory over death for us. At this time when the world is troubled by the coronavirus as it spreads, may we turn our hearts and minds not to the darkness of this world, but to the promises and words of Jesus, the light of the world who brings salvation and the hope of restoration. As we face decisions each day, may we remind ourselves that we are always choosing between the light of Christ or the darkness of this world. And let us remember that our Lord looks upon our hearts and minds at all times. May we live this new week for the Lord as his children of light, bringing forth good fruit in his name. Shall we pray? For at one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Father, we thank you for your message this morning, showing us that you truly are the light of the world that brings salvation and hope to mankind. Help us to view things each day with your eyes, seeing what is true and good, and use us as your servants to bring forth fruit in your name. Help us during these difficult times. Keep us safe, and we thank you that we can always know that you are by our side. We thank you for your message this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.